Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 23 of Season 4 Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we take a hilarious and poignant journey through the 1989 Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan rom-com, When Harry Met Sally, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Brett Stillo of...
Hello.
Of many things. Oh, of hello.
Many things.
you had me at hello. There you go.
Sorry, I upstaged you. You were setting it.
You didn't upstage me. It's fine. You don't want people to know where what podcasts you used to be on. That's fine. You know, they'll have to listen to the end of the episode and hear that. You know, and hear that you're from that you did two of these shows on your in the past. 5 minutes of Banzai and 5 minutes of Trouble. So there you go.
I was on though. Thank you for reminding me.
You're just causing a lot of trouble with your Banzais.
I am. My bonsais are causing trouble.
So
I don't know what to say. I apologize for my bonsais.
There you go.
and may I say, I don't know if this is appropriate or inappropriate, but considering the movie we're talking about, Happy Hump Day.
Yes, that is true. We'll get there. We'll get there. Don't worry.
We'll get there. We're on our job.
Okay, so
to throw that one down.
That's fine. It's the first day of February, so tomorrow we have Groundhog Day. There you go. So minute 23 begins with Harry continuing to still try and explain himself, and ends with a man remembering Roberta. so we ended things yesterday. Harry and Sally are on the People Mover in Washington. I believe you mentioned that you think that this is in Dulles, or maybe it was National. I don't remember which airport it is. Doesn't really make a difference. They're in Washington. They're doing this one tracking shot, you know, of the two of them on this People Mover. And the conversation continues today. So Harry was trying to explain, you know, the fallacy of his previous notion that men and women don't need to be friends, can be friends if they're in a relationship with someone else. And then he went through all the motions of basically figuring out that, okay, that's not true. So today, basically, he continues with that and goes, the person you're involved with then accuses you of being secretly attracted to the person you're just being friends with, which we probably are. I mean, come on, who the hell are we kidding? Let's face it. Which brings us back to the earlier rule before the amendment, which is men and women can't be friends. So where does that leave us? And, you know, we talked about this yesterday. Harry is just talking for the sake of talking. He doesn't care if anyone's listening or not. You know, he wants to give off his wisdom about, you know, about the way things work in life. Who knows? And Sally does her best to try and get away from him. But she feels that she's like stuck in this walkway behind him. she's stuck behind other people, and she at some point tries to speed up, and he still catches up to her. Doesn't really make a difference. And Harry is, whether he's, I don't know if it's a good thing to say that Harry is clueless about this. He might notice it, but he just doesn't care. I think that's what it comes down to. It's not that he doesn't know that this is going on, but who cares? You know, I still am going to, you know, try and get her, try and go after her, whatever it is. And then Sally turns to him and goes, Harry, what? Goodbye. Okay. And then it's great because they both continue to walk. You know, they're not looking at one another, but they're continuing on their journey, you know, on this People Mover. And they actually have them both doing that for nearly 10 seconds. Which you know, when you're dissecting a movie the way we are, 1 minute at a time, 10 seconds is a long time.
Yeah.
You know, to do that. You'd think it would be a little shorter, but it's not. And then at a certain point Sally looks at him very sternly and Harry goes, I'll just stop walking. I'll let you go ahead. And he stops and she continues to walk. And she's like shaking her head in disbelief, you know, as you know, she's like, I can't believe I just, you know, wasted time talking to this guy on the plane. I can't believe I just wasted time, you know, listening to him talk my ear off as I'm walking down, you know, this People Mover.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm finally glad to be rid of him.
Yeah. Here's this guy. I am cursed with this guy from 5 years ago. He is an albatross. I would just, yeah, maybe add, yeah, that's a wonderful, long, awkward silence that they have. And, you know, just that added irony of it's on a people mover.
Well, no, because I think the point of having it on a people mover is the fact that neither one of them has anywhere to go. You know, you can't go back and you can't go forward and you can't go to the side. So the only thing you can do is continue along, you know, the lane, that type of thing, which makes it, you know, funnier to watch them have this conversation, because if they were just walking anywhere else, so Sally would just either stop or go into the restroom or something like that. Here, she has no exit.
Yeah. It's a nice little also testimony just to the talents of the two principal actors and the director that, you know, it's nicely timed. It's nicely choreographed. It's a great awkward moment that it's reminiscent of a later scene that they have that's awkward, where they're, you know, the dinner sequence, and there's an awkward silence there. Right. So these three people know they are in really good sync with one another.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that we're talking about, I mentioned, you know, yesterday about the fact that they discussed this a little bit on the commentary, about the fact that the commentary has Rob Reiner, Nora Ephron, and Billy Crystal. And it's really fascinating to listen to. Anyone who gets a chance, you should try and listen to their conversations about the whole thing, because they give us a lot of insight into everything going on in the movie and a lot of times where certain ideas came from, you know, that type of thing. And they also seem like they're just having a blast sitting and watching the movie and talking together, you know, about the whole thing. And basically, you know, one of the things that they talk about is that they say that most people think that when you're shooting a scene like this, it's a simple scene to shoot. But it's much more difficult because you have to get the timing exactly right. And then Billy Crystal even chimed in and said, even the dialogue you have to get right, because you have to know, you have to pace it properly so that there's still time for them to continue walking afterwards and things like that. So, you know, it's a lot of dialogue for Billy Crystal to remember here. Because, you know, Meg Ryan doesn't have as many lines over, you know, this sequence. You know, most of her lines are Harry or stop it or, you know, yes, no, things like that. But he has, you know, long paragraphs that he needed to remember in order to do this. And, you know, as we know, Billy Crystal is an amazing comedic actor. So he's able to do this really well. He's able to, you know, give dialogue at possibly a faster speed than one might expect, you know? So, you know, and we mentioned the fact that, you know, this is one of the first movies where he's also the lead. So my assumption is this is probably the most dialogue he ever had, you know, for a character in any particular, you know, setting up until then, unless he worked on Broadway or something like that I'm not aware of. But, you know, if he did a play, then okay, he would need to know a little bit more. But I don't know.
True.
Don't know.
But again, just three people really working well, making it look easy.
Yes. It's interesting because, I mean, I don't know what year they did the commentary on it. My assumption is that it was probably like the 20 or 25th anniversary. I'm trying to remember, you know, when the DVD is actually, you know, was made, but Nora Ephron die in 2015, if I remember correctly. I don't remember
around there. I think it might've been 2011 or 2012.
Okay. Right. I was thinking that at first, my first thought was 2012 and I was like, I don't think that's too, but you're right. It is 2012. So right. So she's now been gone 11 years, you know, as of this recording here. But So then again, it must have been the 20th anniversary that they did this. Or maybe before, because they talk about iPhones. So I'm trying to think of
Okay.
whether iPhones were as popular, in the aughts as they became afterwards. I know they had them. I'm not saying they didn't have them, but the question is whether they were as popular. But we'll get to that later in the week. I'll mention why they mentioned about iPhones, why that came up. But
Interesting.
the idea here is that, the three of them still have fresh memories of the movie, when they're sitting and talking about it. So if it's 15, 20 years afterwards, to still have fresh memories is great. For them to say, "Oh, I remember we did this. I remember we did that. I remember, the way that this scene was filmed," and things like that. So yeah, that's great to listen to if you get a chance. So then the scene changes, and we get our third documentary couple of the movie. Now, just I'm not sure if you're aware of this, Brad. I've mentioned it beforehand. These are actors telling real stories. Okay, so Rob Reiner went and collected real stories of people he knew or encountered over the years that had strange, I guess you can say, relationship stories like these. And he collected all of them, and he originally started filming them with the real people, and then realized that you need actors. Yeah, it makes
Makes
sense.
sense. That does make me wonder if any of the little, how would you call them, testimonials, but these couple stories, if any of them might have been the real people,
No,
because I mean, I'm
from my understanding is none of them are. They're all based on
okay.
real stories. And the first one was based on one of the producers of the movie, Alan Horn, his parents. That was the first story.
Okay.
I have not been able to find out who told over these other stories. That I haven't been able to
Okay.
tell. So
Yeah. But but I did read that it was real stories, but
presented by actors.
presented by actors. And it's funny, couple three, this is the only one, it's particularly the husband that there's something about the way he's delivering the line. It's a little, well, it's more like he's delivering lines. Everybody else seems very natural and very realistic, and it just seems like a genuine kind of an interview. But to say he's, there's something a little theatrical about, he's bobbing his head and
Well, I like
the
the
way
way
he's
that they
relating
make
the
it that he
story.
seems forgetful about all these things, that there's so much data for him to remember, he can't remember it, that type of thing. So I mean, the actor is named Al Christie,
Al
whose full
Christie,
name
okay.
was Albert Christopher Ladesich,
Oh.
Ladesich. He was born on September 7th, 1918, in Kansas City, and he passed away on March 3rd, 1995, in Kansas City.
Okay.
He was 77 when he passed away, or 76.
Okay,
He was almost that.
interesting.
He was right, and I always like thinking about the fact of how old they were when they filmed this. So he was about 70 when they filmed this. And he doesn't have that many credits on IMDb. He has 14 acting credits, which it goes for par with the other documentary actors that we've been dealing with up until now. They're mostly people that you wouldn't recognize from anywhere else. So he has 14 acting credits, and his wife is played by an actress named Frances Chaney, who was born in 1915, July 23rd, 1915, in Odessa, which was
Oh, you were.
part of the Russian Empire, but it's now part of the Ukraine. And she passed away on November 23rd, 2004, of Alzheimer's. Okay, her real name is Fania Lipets. So it makes
Banya.
Makes you wonder why she changed her name to Frances Cheney. You know, don't know. She passed away at the age of 89 in 2004. She also doesn't have very many credits. She has 18 acting credits on IMDb. Two of them are Law and Order episodes.
Of course.
Yeah. Of course.
So, okay. Yeah, but, you know, I mean, that kind of like New York actors, you know, stage work. It's kind of, yeah, I kind of just made that assumption. But I feel like maybe
She was actually married to a famous blacklisted writer who was part of the Hollywood Ten, Ring Lardner Jr.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, Ring Lardner Jr. Okay, so there's a connection. Yeah, Ring Lardner Jr. I'm familiar with his work. So,
and she's the former mother-in-law of Tommy Lee Jones. Wow.
Ah, okay. I love stuff like this.
Daughter Kate Lardner was married to Tommy Lee Jones. Wow.
I think I'd come across the Lardner Jones connection.
Yeah, they were married from 1971 to 1978.
Okay. All right.
So,
but yeah, there's just something about him. It's not bad. It's funny because he's able to kind of convey the confusion, and she does a great job of like, yeah, reminding him. Then it was this. No, it was that.
Right. But well, let's just quickly go through the dialogue here. So
we'll hear that. So that'd be fun.
So he goes, "We were married 40 years ago. We were married 3 years. We got a divorce. Then I married Marjorie." And then the wife interjects and goes, "But first you live with Barbara." "Right, Barbara." "But I didn't marry Barbara. I married Marjorie." And then she goes, "Then you got a divorce." "Right." "Then I married Katie." "Another divorce." "Then, a couple years later, at Eddie Colicchio's funeral, I ran into her. I was some girl. I don't even remember her name. Roberta." "Right, Roberta." So, I mean, I like the fact that they make it seem, you know, that he's so forgetful. I mean, this is a guy who, according to the story, you know, was either married or living with like five different women over the course of these, you know, 40 years. You know, he doesn't look like a ladies' man, but apparently, according to the story, he is. You know, which works. No,
yeah, and just the, you know, it is a great story.
You know, tomorrow we'll hear the rest of the story of how it all works, but yeah. It's just interesting that she has to remind him of how, you know, of how the story goes and who he was with and stuff like that. It could be from the perspective, you know, that our wives or significant others are always the ones who will remind us of things that we don't necessarily want to remember, you know?
Yeah.
So it's possible that's what's going on here.
And I just love the little detail of Eddie Colicchio's funeral.
Yes.
This movie could only take place in New York because that's the only place in the world where you could go to Eddie Colicchio's funeral.
Well, we'll get there. We'll get there in a second. We'll get there in a second.
We will.
So let's start off with let's go through the names. So we have the name Marjorie. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know what the name Marjorie means?
A maker of margarine.
That's a very good guess. That is a very good guess.
No, I do not know.
It's derived from the name Margaret, which means pearl.
Okay.
Okay. There are numerous different spellings and different, you know, variations on the name itself. The name came from the French, which that came from the Latin Margarita, which means pearl.
Okay.
Right. And apparently after the Middle Ages, the name became very rare. But during the 19th century, it was revived. So now I was able to find 4 pages of names of famous Marjories, but we're not going to go into them. The only one I wanted to mention is the final one on the list, which is Marge Simpson. You know, that's the one that really stuck out for me here.
as well it should.
Yes, of course.
The greatest of all Marges.
Yes, apparently. Then the next name we get is Barbara. So do you know what Barbara means?
No, I do not.
Okay, so Barbara actually means Stranger or foreigner?
Interesting. Oh, okay.
Okay.
Is this possibly a derivative of barbarian? Never
Maybe
thought of that
it could be.
before. No, but yeah.
I didn't even think about that either. And in Roman Catholicism and Greek Orthodox tradition, there is a Saint Barbara who was
Okay.
martyred by her father, who was then punished with death by lightning. So Saint Barbara is a protectress against fire and lightning. And early Christians occasionally referred to themselves as barbarians in opposition to the pagan Romans and God and Greeks. So there you
Okay,
go. That
there's
so
our
there's
connection.
the
Okay.
connection. Yeah. Today the name is mostly used in Chile, the Czech Republic, Estonia, Georgia, Hungary, Poland, Slovakia, and Russian. It used to be v more popular in English-speaking countries in the first half of the 20th century,
Yeah.
but it's not used as much in the U.S. I mean, my mother's middle name is Barbara, and she was born in the 40s. So again, that goes with the timeline of of what we were talking about earlier this week when we were talking about your mother-in-law's name. So.
Yeah.
It fits in
Hel
there. Helen, exactly.
yeah, Helen and Barbara.
There you go.
Yeah.
In
Exactly. Yeah.
Italy, the name Barbara was very popular during the 1970s, and it was between 1969 and 1977, it was a top 10 name given to girls born during that time, and it in 1971 it even was the number two. Do you have any idea what
Wow.
the number one baby girl name might have been in Italy in 1971? Any guess?
I'm going to say Sophia.
You're very close. It's Maria. So,
Okay. Now that, and that's a classic, Mother Mary. Oh.
could be. I don't know. When I hear Maria, I think of West Side Story. But that's just me.
Exactly.
Which is not Italian.
No,
Exactly.
you're
Yes.
right.
Then the next name that comes up here is Katie. All right. Do you know
Okay.
what Katie possibly what it stands for? What's
Oh,
it short for?
I imagine it is a I am thinking perhaps it is a shortened slang version of Catherine.
Yes.
That is the
It could
popular
be.
conception,
It can
but
be
I
used as a shortened version of Catherine, Kate, Caitlin, Kathleen, Katie, and it could also be used on its own.
Katarina.
Possibly.
Yeah, pot,
Possibly.
yeah, many variations. I'm gonna nerd out. In the script, is it Katie with a K or
It
Katie with a
is
C?
Katie with a K, if I remember correctly. Well, again, the script is there are differences here, which we'll get to when we get to at the end of this minute. There are numerous differences in the way that this whole scene plays out, but Katie is spelled with a K in the script and in the subtitles.
Okay.
Okay. So
Good
if we
point.
wanted to talk about what it means, it means pure. Catherine comes from the Greek word katheros, which means poor. Pure, not poor. Pure. Oops. Pure.
Oops.
P-U-R-E. Right. So then the last thing I wanted to check out was the name Calicio.
Ah.
I've never heard this name anywhere else besides in this movie. Okay. Do you know where the origin of the name Calicio comes from?
I'm gonna say it is not Italian, but Sicilian.
Wow. Boom. Bingo.
Yeah.
You got it. You got it, Brett.
It's
I never would have thought about
yeah,
that.
there's I can't put my finger on it, but it's taken me years, but and if you ever talk to a proud Sicilian, they very much will point out that's Italy. This is Sicily. It's different places. But yeah,
That's correct.
something about there's something about Sicilian names that just sound a little different. You know, Corleone.
There you
yeah,
go.
That's I did, probably there's probably somebody who's done a paper on the grammar involved in it. But yeah, I had a feeling it was just a Sicilian.
You're right.
Proud
And the name goes all the way back to the 10th or and 11th centuries in Sicily.
Well, Eddie couldn't have been that old, though.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. But again, he wasn't in he wasn't living in Sicily at the time. You know,
you imagine a New Yorker, but wow, I'm impressed. You went and looked up the Colicchio name, and
well, because it really stood out.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a name that makes sense. Like this guy, do you think this character is meant to be Sicilian or just, you know, he's in the melting pot of New York. So it doesn't really make a difference.
I'm slightly disappointed that he was born in Kansas City. Cause I just assumed Al was like, oh yeah, he just looks like one of those, you know, like born in New York stage actors. And when I was watching this clip, you know, and I've said before, he seemed of all of them, he seems the most like an actor. And I thought, well, maybe I'd seen him in a commercial. He has that kind of, he's got a mug, right? You could easily see him doing a, you know, a Pepto-Bismol commercial in the 70s or something like that. Or, you know, and imagine he's, you know, he did a fair share of theater. So, he just kind of looked. He had the look and attitude, and even the tone. He sounded like a New Yorker, you know, that Eddie Colicchio's funeral, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It hasn't come up yet, but you know, I'm a lifelong Californian. It's kind of just fate. Never even been to New York, but I do have a sort of a fascination with the place. So to me, New Yorkers are like a race unto themselves. You know, it's like, it doesn't matter if like you're a New Yorker from Sicily or you came over from Russia or, you know, you lived in Chinatown, you're a New Yorker,
yeah.
You know, it is its own, you know, energy and personality. So, he just seems like he is born and bred New York and, that's Al.
Yeah. Okay. That works. I love the way that his wife keeps interrupting him throughout the story. You know, she's basically, I mean, we'll find out tomorrow the rest of the story, but she's basically, you can say that she's earned the right to constantly correct him, you know, by the way she does it. You know, she remembers who all of these women were.
Oh yeah.
That's more or less what she's reminding him of all of these quote unquote mistakes that she feels he's made over the course of time. You know, you never know. So do you have anything you wanted to say about this minute before we get into the script?
One little funny tidbit, because, you know, folks, when we'll watch these minutes and we'll watch them and we'll rewatch them and we start to see things that may not be present. But, you know, at one point, as I was watching this minute, you know, they have extras on the people mover. And there's this one guy at about, I think, second five. And he looks like Arthur Ashe, the tennis great. I know it's not Arthur Ashe.
I was thinking that, too.
Yeah. And
but
he's a
businessman. It's businessman Arthur Ashe.
Yeah. Who
is looking like if nowadays he would be looking at like his iPad, but it he has like some sort of, I guess, scheduler opened up, you know, looking at something. You're like, where's my meeting?
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Where do I need to go from here?
Yeah. But it's just one of those little weird things that, you know, we do when we research things that it's just like, it's the more you once you become aware of it, it really sticks out. So thank you for validating me.
No,
you two like, hey, it looks a little like Arthur. So yes, that's it. Otherwise, yes. it was a great minute on Hump Day.
Yes,
it was a great Hump minute.
That is true. So a few discrepancies here from the script. So first of all, when Harry and Sally depart. So they actually shake hands, which
that's right.
You know, no, that they don't hear, but I'm saying in the
Oh,
script. In the script, they have them speak Ents. Here, they don't. They just more or less ignore one another and then part ways. There's no nice seeing you or anything like that, which makes sense. I'm glad they cut that out because it wasn't needed. And then Harry's line before of him saying, "I'll just stop walking, I'll let you go ahead," he says, "I'm going to stop walking for a minute and let you get ahead." So it's a little different. Doesn't need to be changed. They did it well. So the documentary footage, though, is the story is slightly different. Okay. Slightly. There's like more dialogue that they cut out. So first of all, it says that they were married 50 years ago, not 40 years ago. And then it says, "We were married 3 years, we got a divorce." And then the woman says, "No one got divorced then unless you were miserable. Not like now. You get a little upset, you get a divorce." And then he goes, "So then I met Marjorie. But first you lived with Barbara." "Right, Barbara. But I didn't marry Barbara. I married Marjorie. And then I got a divorce. My brother's a lawyer. I got a rate. Then I married Katie." And then the woman goes, "The shortest one of all." Man goes, "Less than a year. Another divorce. So then I was single. I crammed in a lot of living. I got it out of my system." And the woman goes, "Don't forget Roberta." The man, miserable to be reminded of Roberta. Roberta. So, yeah. So I like the way they did that. It's fun that they add in there. It's not necessary. They don't need it here, but it's fun reading it and just imagining these two characters, adding in this dialogue along the way. So
Fun,
I like
yeah,
that.
definitely funnier on paper, but again, and I it's worth noting, yes, Mr. Reiner knew something about fake documentary footage. That yeah, it's just a little I don't know if he directed these or if it was the second unit, but you see, you're like, yeah, let's leave it out, let's streamline it so it's a little less of a monologue and it seems a little more just conversational.
That it can flow,
If a
that it can
little
flow.
more flow, we want that to sound like, yeah, because yeah, something. I mean, the pit it was my brother, so I got a rate. I mean, that's a great line, but yeah, sometimes you just gotta let that one go, throw that one back into the sea.
Yes, completely. Okay, so every Wednesday we have a segment called Harry Burns Hump Day, where my guests will give their top five Billy Crystal performances. So Brett, what have you got for us?
My
Start with
top.
number five and work your way up. I know you don't give them numbers, but you gotta.
Well,
You gotta.
I can give them numbers. I can give them numbers. Number five is the often forgotten Joan Rivers directed Rabbit Test. That is an interesting little movie. Not the greatest movie, but she takes a kid. She takes a kid on this chance. She takes a cat chance on this kid who's playing the gay son on soap and puts him in a movie of Joan Rivers' scripted and directed movie about the world's first male pregnancy. So 1978, The Rabbit Test. Next, we gotta throw Mama from the Train. It's largely, Billy playing the straight man to Danny DeVito, and I'm forgetting great actress who played Mom and
Anne Ramsey.
Anne Ramsey.
Anne
Thank you,
Ramsey
because that movie doesn't
from the
make
Goonies.
yeah,
From
that's
the
right, The
Goonies.
Goonies. Yeah, yeah,
Ma.
yeah.
Ma Fratelli.
Yeah, but it's I think it's as a great comedian, Billy knows when to like, okay, this is Danny, this is your bit. So that was good. Let's see, moving right along, number three. Is I'm gonna this one Harry, he's defines himself as a leading man. We knew he's a comic actor. We knew all his great voices. I don't think I mentioned this the other day. Is 1989, the summer of 1989, a movie's a great time for surprises. A month earlier, there's an even bigger shock. That we knew what was coming, right? But Michael Keaton as Bruce Wayne,
That's right.
right? So I've kind of, and as you probably read, Michael Keaton was considered for the role of Harry.
Yes.
hard to believe anybody but Billy Crystal play in this. But there you go. So I think it's interesting that, you know, there were two cases of comic actors surprising people, basically playing, you know, they were both sort of like channeling
playing against the cast.
Yeah, planning and doing a fine job. Number two, not the biggest role, but one of the most memorable, The Princess Bride. You know, I don't know how long Billy's in it, but
have fun storming the castle,
right? You just can't, you know, it just echoes, right? And then not the greatest movie, but something about it, Mr. Saturday Night. And as I recall, that was kind of a, I think Billy wrote the script with his, I think his brother wrote it too, or did he have, anyway, I know it's about two brothers, and it's
David Paymer and and Billy Crystal.
And David Paymer is really good in that movie too. And yeah, you know, I'm a sucker for, you know, that kind of a movie, sort of a, you know, fictional, you know, a fictional superstar. And so I recall Billy also did that character initially on Saturday Night Live. I think they did a little fake documentary. Maybe it was even Rob Reiner, but this whole concept of, vaudeville Catskills guy, early TV. I love that movie.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. So that was written by Billy Crystal, Lowell Gantz, and Babalu Mandel.
That's right. How could I? Because I don't think Billy has.
And Billy Crystal directed it.
Oh, he directed it too. Yeah, because one funny thing.
It's the Parenthood. It's the Parenthood guys.
Oh yeah.
You know, Lowell Gantz and Babalu Mandel did Parenthood.
Oh yeah, and so many other things. I mean, you know, those guys were on fire as screenwriters. You know, they could almost do no wrong, especially in the 80s. So that would have been a real dynamic team up. I'm sure, you know.
Oh, they did Fever Pitch also, and yeah. Forgot Paris.
There you go, Billy Crystal again, and
A League of Their Own.
What, you know?
City Slickers. Yeah, okay. They had a long career with Billy Crystal, and actually Gung Ho,
right.
Which was Michael Keaton.
I mean, well,
there you go.
Yeah, we haven't. Maybe we'll talk a little bit. I think it comes up a little better tomorrow. But you know, the relationships, the people, you know, everybody knew each other. They don't, you know, how they'd work, you know, worked together. You know, there's interesting overlaps that there it was, you know, it, if you will, there's kind of this gang that they, you know, they all knew each other. They all worked together. And you see, you know, yeah, I was in this and we'll use them on that. So I think that definitely helps that they, you know, they enjoyed working with each other. So, but more about that tomorrow.
Yeah. Yes, for sure. Okay. So Brett, once again, do you want to tell people how they can get in touch with you?
You can get in touch with me on, me personally, Brett Still, I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I'm all over the internet in various ways. I do a lot of podcasts with guys like Rob and a lot of movie podcasts. 5 minutes of Trouble, 5 minutes of Bonsai. Want to do a shout out to, also to my our ringleader, Mr. Jim O'Kane, and all the great podcasts he's had me on, Andromeda Minute, Apollo 13 Minute, Rocketeer Minute. Jim, you are the Henry Ford of Movie by Minute podcasts.
You have to give him like a movie-related name, not Henry Ford.
I know, Jim, you're a big William Wyler fan, so you might want to say you're the William Wyler of Movie by Minute podcasting. You pick whoever you want to represent.
That's somewhat ironic because, you know, just 2 years ago, he did Best Years of Our Lives Minute by Minute.
True enough.
There you go.
True enough. That fits. Yeah, total fit. Hope you like that, Jim.
All right. And and finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, and you can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. So until tomorrow, I'll have what she's having.
I'll have what she's having.
gave me a thrill. With all your faults, I love you still. It had to be you, wonderful you, had to be you.